We'll start with Davante Adams. And this is a guy who I think it's 1,100 receiving yards or more in four straight years. I think it's 100 catches or more in four straight years. This is a guy who throughout his Green Bay career, you could pencil in for double digit touchdown receptions every year. And it looks like he's done in Las Vegas. And it certainly sounds to me like the trade deadline's coming early this year, Baldy, because we're barely in October and this guy's days are numbered in the desert.
Well, he's done with the Raiders. He's not going to play with the Raiders. They play Denver this week and they've got a stranglehold on Denver. So he's not going to play. So, you know, the quicker they could probably move him, the better for everybody, for the Raiders, you know, what they're doing, sort of the kind of the youth movement, some of the guys they've got going on there. But, you know, it's just a question of, you know, what's the landing zone? It's an expensive ticket, but, you know, is he the missing piece? You know, and there's a lot of teams that could use Davante. I don't have any insight. Yep. I mean, you could just start with the Jets and his relationship with Aaron. And the passing game was broken last week with what Aaron Rodgers was doing with Aaron Gibson or Xavier Gibson and Garrett Wilson, as good as he is. Like, there's just a disconnect there between the two. And it showed up when they needed it the most last week. And there was complete frustration. You know, Alan Lazard is playing his role and Mike Williams keeps coming on. But can Davante, I don't know, can you put him on the Concorde and get him to London, you know, for Sunday? That's obviously the Chiefs need a receiver with the loss of Rashee Rice, but I don't know why the Raiders would trade in their own division. But
right.
Who knows? It has happened before. And, you know, so you can just go through the list of teams. Could Washington use him on a team that is really, really good offensively? And maybe with what they have is enough. Maybe they don't need, you know, another guy like that, you know, an 11-year veteran. I mean, you just go through the list of teams right now that could use him. And you could just kind of
places. Well, here's what I'm hearing from people involved in the process. Like those teams have interest. I mean, why wouldn't you? Who wouldn't have interest in Davante Adams? Buffalo has interest. Pittsburgh has interest. I've heard Baltimore's at least made exploratory phone calls. So there's a lot of teams who feel like he could help put them over the top. The contract is an issue, right? It's unwieldy. You've got future years. You've got cap ramifications. So he can control the process because he's going to streamline it for who he wants to streamline it for. And you're right. To this point, his representatives have made it clear to the Raiders and other teams that his preference would be Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr, right? Those are his quarterbacks. Those are his guys. New Orleans or the Jets. A lot of GMs I've talked to think the Jets will ultimately get this done. The Jets are in a desperate situation. And the Jets are, let's frank, like they've overpaid before. Like, I mean, who else gave Aaron Rodgers what they gave Aaron Rodgers, right? Mm-hmm. So they're in a bit of a dire circumstance. I think it's going to end up being a third round pick and then probably another pick dependent on how he performs, a 2026 pick, or maybe there's a marginal player in there as well. But these tales being told about two plus something else, that just doesn't ring true with the people I'm talking to. And, the hamstring injury, at least from what the Raiders are telling people, like it's not a complete fallacy. You know, he obviously wouldn't have played this week anyway. Could he come back? If we made a trade in week six, could he play for you week six? There's a chance he could. Mm-hmm. So I think this does happen. Like, by the time we do our first pod next week, I think Davante Adams is traded, and I think it's going to be the Jets. Let's drill down on the state of the Jets. Baldy, through four games last year with Zach Wilson as the quarterback, they averaged 4.7 yards per play. You want to take a gander as to what they're averaging per play this year with Aaron Rodgers and their new offensive line and all that stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw him last week, and so I would say they're probably around 4.7 or 4.8 right now.
It's 4.8, Baldy. It's 4.8. Progress. Yeah. Progress. Breece Hall, through four games last year, was averaging over 6 yards per carry. This year, despite all those upgrades and having a world-class quarterback who's going to change the way people defend them, he's averaging half of that. They're 27th in the NFL in rushing right now. Garrett Wilson has fewer targets, fewer receptions, fewer yards, and fewer touchdowns with Aaron Rodgers through 4 weeks than he had with Stifler through 4 weeks last year. That's fact. Like, yeah, they're throwing to running backs 25% of the time. They're not pushing the ball downfield. When they need a play, and this is what people who face them are telling me, D coordinators, when they need a play, the ball's going to the running back. It's going to Breece Hall, or it's going to Lazard. Like, yeah, it's become really easy to figure things out. People are skeptical that Nathaniel Hackett's going to reinvent the wheel on the fly, or that the quarterback even wants him to. And it's clear that Saleh and Aaron Rodgers aren't exactly bosom buddies.
Yeah.
How deep are these problems, and could Davante Adams fix it all himself?
I don't look. So, you know, look, this game in London is to me, it's the Jets season. I mean, if you somehow beat the Vikings, who are a real quality team and well coached, you find a way to beat the Vikings. You know, they kind of make that ugly loss in New York or at the Meadowlands just go away. And you get 3-2 and you feel good about yourself. And, you know, we'll see. But the running game is not there. Breece Hall ran 10 times for 4 yards last year. I love what Vance Joseph is doing. But don't tell me Breece Hall can't get a yard.
Right.
He can't get a yard, you know, a run. Like, don't tell me that. So there's some real problems for sure. Aaron Rodgers dropped back 52 times last week in a game where they were winning 6-0. You know, they had the ball at the 1 yard line after a defensive pass interference call. They couldn't score. You know, they couldn't score, Jason. Like, the pre-snap penalties, they had 5 of them last week. Just illegal procedure calls. I mean, this is not a well-coached team right now. Defensively, I mean, they can't play a whole lot better. They held Bo Nix to 60 yards. They had a couple runs in the, you know, on the one touchdown drive. They gave up one touchdown. They should win that game defensively. And that's without C.J. Mosley, you know, and that's with Jermaine Johnson and no Hassan Reddick. That they're still playing good defense. But, you know, defenses only hold it together so long, Jason, when they feel like they have to, because it's been happening to this defense,
yeah,
where the offense doesn't support them. It happened all year last year. At some point, the dam breaks.
Yep.
And, you know, and all of a sudden, guys are like, well, I'm going to go get my numbers.
Yep.
I'm going to take some gambles. So you can only hold that together so long. It's to me, this is pivotal. They go to London to get blown out. I don't care if they get Davante Adams or not. It's going to be like this whole thing could just be like this. You can feel the inferno already beginning to burn.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson's calling out his coach, calling out his like, you know, I watch teams and they look like they do a whole lot more than we do. And they do.
Yeah.
So,
right. There's more motion. There's more pre-snap movement. Right. I mean, this is a very static offense, is it not?
Yeah, no, there's nothing like what Minnesota does and, you know, what some of these San Francisco does or like some of these teams that are really manipulating the defense and really getting them to freeze to get what they want, what Tampa did to Philadelphia last week. Like, you just don't see that right now. I mean, I know, like, I talked to Patrick Surtain last week. He was looking forward to throwing a wet blanket over Garrett Wilson. He did, except for one throw down the field. But, like, you knew that going in. So where is that man beater against Surtain? Like, it really didn't shake out very well.
Baldy, here's another cause for concern for me. So, like, they've been held to 265 net yards or less in 3 of their 4 games. The only team they move the ball on is New England, a divisional team who they know inside out.
Yeah.
So that's a problem. The first 3 weeks, Aaron Rodgers was basically the least blitzed quarterback in the NFL. And they still had a staccato offense. Now Vance Joseph says, I'm going to blitz him on 1 of every 2 dropbacks and see what that looks like. Complete annihilation. Flores hasn't been blitzing as much this year, but he led the league in blitzing last year. And if you're Brian Flores, you've now faced in successive weeks Kyle Shanahan, the master, right? Bobby Slowick, maybe the next one up. LaFleur, the second to the master. And now you get Hackett in this derivation of the same offense. And I'm supposed to believe that Minnesota's not going to suffocate these guys?
Well, I can't figure out Brian Flores' defense. I don't know if anybody can. They're the only team in the league that I see that will line up in actually a 3-deep coverage. I mean, 3 guys on any second or third and long situation. And they're going to keep everything in front of you. Their fronts are as multiple as they can be. They play a lot of different people in a lot of different places. They're not an easy team to game plan. They had Green Bay dead in water. Now, Jordan Love played great in the fourth quarter, and they got some plays. But, you know, they had that game in hand, and that will happen in team. You know, statistics can be manipulated a little bit. But, I mean, they had, Jordan Love and Green Bay, like they completely befuddled them. And you talked to C.J. Stroud the week before. He went up to Brian Flores after the game and said, like, I've never seen anything like it. He held him 7 points. And it was the worst game C.J. Stroud ever played. Yeah. So he has that effect on quarterbacks. And you give him the third down, the junk that he throws at you, it's not easy to figure out. Your protections are going to get challenged. And so they want you to get the ball out quick, and they rally to the ball. They have a lot of, you know, philosophies. And Brian's a master. This is not an easy game this week. But like I said, you find a way to win this game. And good luck. I mean, look, will Sauce travel with Justin Jefferson? I think Minnesota hopes he does, because they'll use him in decoys and different ways to get the ball to Jalen Naylor and to a bunch of – and look, I mean, Aaron Jones lines up everywhere, and he looks like Aaron Jones to me.
Yes, he does.
The way he has for most of his career.
Yeah. Look, I'm on this game in a couple different ways. I jumped on the Jets on the look ahead line when you could have got them at +1. I jumped on them again at -2.5. I jumped on the Vikings. Yeah. The Vikings have covered 7 straight games when their preferred starting quarterback is available. The Vikings, Baldy, outdoors since 2021, the Vikings are 13-6-3 against the spread. 684 winning percentage, first in the NFL. Robert Saleh has struggled to cover his whole career, especially on the road or neutral situations. Favorites in Europe, 13-15 against the spread the last 45 meetings. 7 straight games played in Europe have gone under the number. Since 2020, games kicking off at 9:30 a.m. are 16-6 to the under. This number's come down, but I would still play the under.